I'll use my discretion with regard to the classes for Tuesday and Wednesday due to the heat. Okay? I'll use my judgment. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. You just have to go and figure out what it's going to be. It's just through the most of this week, and then next week's supposed to be nice, real decent, in the 90s. Because you can trust your phone app. You really can. Okay, let's go. All right, we were on page 22 of the notes here dealing with this Lament of the Merchants and the laundry list of ingredients. Dealing with the spice category here on page 22, starting around point 41. I know maybe some of it's a little tedious, but that's what it's about, the trading in the ancient world. Now this and the products that they had and the corresponding equivalent in our modern world. We got perfume, Muran. We've got one of the most expensive and desirable perfumes of the ancient world, point 46. It was made up of a number of ingredients, not just myrrh. Hence Smyrna, myrrh. As someone might know, you can go out to an expensive shop and buy a very pricey perfume. Very high priced. Boo. Frankincense was a fragrant gum imported from South Arabia, all those scriptures. It was used in perfume for the body as one of the ingredients of incense and was an additive to wine at banquets. The first item in the food category is wine. In the first century, Rome's wealthy landowners quit planting grain and corn and cultivated vines. I've read a lot about the detail that goes into making these wines and the people that are so dedicated, wine and champagne, the soil, the procedure, keep all bad stuff out, no artificial nothing. And all the process that they've learned over the years in the making of wine in French oak barrels of ferment and on and on and on and on and on. It goes. It's quite interesting. And these vines, different grapes producing different effects. Of course, they have some that are a mixture of two or more in some cases, and these vines, they will grow in all kinds of soils, volcanic soil that other plants wouldn't even survive in, and they flourish. And they figured this out over time, and particular varietals fit certain countries and their overall environment, not just the soil, but the weather, all these factors involved. And then there's the winemaker, the people that do it and put it together. And then, you know, in some cases it sits there for years, and then it's imported. And Africa and Spain were the chief sources of olive oil at that time, whereas today it is mostly is imported from Italy. Fine wine refers to the finest grade of wheat and flour. Rome imported this from Alexandria. There was an armada of ships bringing wheat from the breadbasket of the Roman world, Egypt. Cattle were imported primarily as working animals and not for beef.
Likewise, sheep were raised for their wool. And there's all kinds of different categories of sheep. With the next animal category, the text switches back to the genitive case of the mention of horses. Merchants brought horses from Africa, Spain, Cappadocia, as well as Armenia. The breeding of horses was for racing. Chariots were wheeled carriages used for a variety of uses. Military, just transporting things and people. They had luxury ones and so forth. Chariots correspond to vehicles such as passenger cars, imported by the millions to the U.S. from various nations like Japan and Europe, etc. Don't have to elaborate on that one. Just look at all the cars out there. I mean, gee, although that's German. Oh, that's a, you know. And then the real exotic ones, you know, that are available to those that can afford them. The biggest one, I think, is Bugatti. It's ridiculous, the price of that thing. It's Italian, of course. Ferrari is Italian. Lamborghini is Italian. They're big car makers. And then there's several, of course, Mercedes and all the different ones from Germany, England, and so forth. The final item on the list is not two separate items, but one item, referred to with two expressions, joined by the K-A-I, the and, a sense of even, which is seen frequently in the New Testament Greek, where chi can be used as a connective and, or it can be for emphasis, even. The transition and slaves is literal and bodies. Slaves and bodies. We might think of back in our history when all these Africans were brought over here. That trafficking trade. But that died out. And now it's in the modern category. There's a lot of homeless due to various events, children around the world. And they are gathered up and trafficked for the perverse appetites of the elite. And so this gets thrown into the list. God doesn't overlook it. It has been a very expensive industry for these people that collect these kiddos. It's just horrible. It's beyond comprehension horrible. But it is done. And it's in the list. Human trafficking. So the transition and slaves is literally and bodies. This is followed by even human lives, which literally is from souls of men. There is a worldwide trafficking in human beings. It's undercover. It comes out in the open from time to time. And they're flitted around in airplanes and various things. And American authorities are in on it. They could shut the damn thing down. But they won't. Again, this country is filled with every unclean bird and every distorted type of activity. Of course, in Roman times, slaves were shipped and sold like cattle. We have slaves in the New Testament that are in the local churches. And Paul encourages them not to do a runaway slave, but stay in your niche. And if you get a chance to go free, take it. Get your independence. You could purchase a slave and set it free. Give it citizenship and everything. And they are these individuals who were brought into the Roman Empire from their conquests. Some of these became believers and were in the local churches mentioned in the New Testament. America finally ended the slave trade from Africa with the Civil War. But this does not answer the shipping of humans to America at the time of her fall. Why would you even bring that up if it wasn't going on? It's going on. And everybody's looking the other way. Very few speak out against it. The answer is their illicit activity to human trafficking for prostitution, which, by the way, is a perverse vice of the rich. We've had the Epstein files. And on that ongoing saga, who all was involved? You know, and some of the women that were victims of it, they were taken into it. They were underage. They weren't even adult by definition. And they were swept into this world, either by their own volition or whatever. And that's just one example, probably. It's more inclusive than that. You know, one of the people that was busted on it is somebody that was high in the royal hierarchy of England, that prince, whatever he was. He got drug out in the open over it. You can't find yourself a legitimate female. You have got to stoop to that level. Please. Introduction to the Lament of the Merchants, which we will take a peek at. The fruit you long for is gone from you. The fruit, this particular word only occurs here. I mean, the word fruit occurs, but this is a ripe fruit. This is spora with the article. It's technical. So the fruit you long for, you is a reference to the merchants, that you desire, this epithumia with the article can refer to lust, desire, longing, the longing of the soul, suke, has gone away, aorist indicative, apergomai, leave, go away from you, and all things that were luxurious and all things which were luxurious. I might have misspoke here. The fruit you has longed for has gone from you. And all things that were luxurious and splendid have passed from you. And all things that were costly, the paros, and splendid, that's something that shines, lampros, has perished, gone away, apolumi, from you, and men will no longer find them. And no longer, Eurisco, will find them. Okay, now, this heading for this verse can be misleading. If I'm looking at it again, I'd change it. Because this is viewing things from the standpoint of the American population, corporately. All this stuff you've lusted after, it's gone from you. It's cut off. You made this your God. You made this your priority. Not that there's anything wrong with these things in their place. It's just that you put all your emphasis on the material and the sensual and that which stimulates, whether it's eyes, taste, the senses, That's what you were after. You know, I tell people, I got something so much better for you than all that put together. It's called SG3. It transcends anything that the richest people on earth ever had. But then they got to die, don't they? And have an expensive funeral and a nice big thing to put their body in. No? Rest in peace. I don't think so. And you can't take it with you if some try. Honestly, it's crazy. They found a guy's tomb, and he was buried with all this gold. Won't get him anything. They'll just take the gold and use it. What is a fool like that thinking when he's facing death? They aren't thinking. They're acting like animals. Dumb animals that don't understand that he's taking care of me and feeding me good foods so he can butcher me and have a ribeye steak. They don't get that, do they? Or they'd be running every direction like they run from predators. That's why the humans are compared to dumb animals that are just trying to fulfill their appetites. Their physical appetites, with no idea of anything after this, not really, and not seeking God and finding out what His plan is. You and I know that the way of salvation for the individual is the easiest thing to get the biggest benefit that there is. There's nothing else. It's in a category by itself. One simple act of faith in Jesus Christ gets you off the hook with regard to eternal wrath and gives you eternal life forever with a guarantee of a resurrection body at the very least and an opportunity to lay up treasure in heaven where none of these things that can lay their hand on it and corrupt it can, where no thief can enter. What attacks clothing? Moths. They got a way. We got a way to do it. Put cedar in your closet. You know? This verse has as its speaker God who reports the fact that Babylon will cease to enjoy the imports she so much craved during her life as the leading commercial nation. I don't have to prove that the United States is the biggest consumer on the face of the earth and has been for some time. Once we hit our stride, and we really hit it after World War II. That's when we, not wasn't just the roaring 20s, well, okay. But we really hit our stride after World War II. That's where the three, home in the suburb, and the car, a couple cars in the garage, and blah, 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 blah. Let's go. And then we developed into shopping malls and all these other places. I'm not saying that they're in and of themselves wrong. I am just saying that this is the house of worship for a lot of people. Huh? The little translation of this verse runs as follows. And your ripe autumn fruit of the lust of your soul has departed from you. And all the costly and shiny things have perished from you. That's my corrected, that's my expanded translation. And all the costly and shiny things have perished from you. And they will no longer find them any longer. It's over. The party is over. We're heading to a new regime. And there will be those on our earth, Americans and otherwise, who will latch on to God's plan and do what they're supposed to do. Exit America. Suffer what you've got to through the rest of the trib. You've got that part of your phase two is time-wise short. And whether you survive physically or not, either way, you're gonna shine in the kingdom of God on earth. And the forces of darkness are going to try to do everything they can to shut this down to no avail. You're fighting God. You'll need more than good luck. It ain't going to work. It never has for people. And when they die, they find out the reality. They hit the proverbial wall. And there's nowhere else to go. There's no second chance. This is the gospel out there for you who are listening. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You've got the best gift anyone could have, and it's a grace gift. You don't have to do anything to earn it. You can't do anything to earn it. You can earn a lot of things, but you can't earn it. It's a gift. But your attitude towards Christ determines where you're going to end up. Heaven or hell. A resurrection body in heaven or a resurrection body in the lake of fire. You make your choice. I can't persuade people that are negative. I'm sure glad it doesn't depend on me and my eloquence. The individual from within has to say, yeah, I'm going to be a believer. And then after that, I'm going to be the right kind of believer. I want to rake in the SG3 factor, having laid up treasure in heaven. What have you laid up in heaven lately? You suffered? Okay. You can get a reward for that. You helped someone out? You were kind? You applied the doctrine of forgiveness? You gave to your local church time and money? You fulfilled the royal imperatives? While you're not perfect, you don't have to be. You got rebound to bounce off of. A much maligned doctrine, by the way, in certain fundamentalist circles.
Oh, that's just a license to sin. Like hell it is. It's a license to serve God.
It's like you're in a room and you got something to do. I can't see. All the lights are out. Well, turn them on. And it makes a world of difference, doesn't it? So that, the literal translation of this verse, I like this. And your ripe autumn fruit of the lust of your soul has departed from you. And all the costly and shiny things have perished from you. And they will in no way find them any longer. God is the speaker, and Babylon is the one taunted. The noun translated fruit is not your standard New Testament word. Karpos is. It occurs only here and refers to produce at its optimum state of ripeness and ready to eat and ready to consume. As we well know, there's a perfect time for something to come to its perfect state and then to be consumed, or then it goes downhill. Both genitives, the lust of your soul, are subjective genitives, including the fruit, e.g. merchandise, is the object of the lust, and lusting is carried out by the soul, 1 Peter 2:11. Where Peter says, behold, I urge you as aliens and strangers. He's talking to Roman citizens, for the most part. He's talking to Roman citizens. Why would you call a Roman citizen an alien and a stranger? He's talking about us in the cosmos. We don't fit in that sense. We are of another kingdom. And we're in the devil's world for the time being. I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? Your STA, are you listening? Your STA and my STA, what's a war? It goes through various phases. It may be toned down here, and then it flares up. The STA flares up. You can't help it, almost. It's the STA. It's the nature of the beast. We are indwelt with by it from birth. And of course, there's external things that stimulate it. But you could be on a desert island and have your STA stirred up. You don't have to see anything and experience anything with your four senses. It wages war. As long as you're a Christian, you just have to know when to shut it down. I'm not going there. What's to be gained? Not much. The departure of this deeply desired fruit is the result of a nuclear attack. The merchandise is described by two adjectives, luxurious and splendid. The idea is that these things can be costly and these things are shiny. These things will be denied to the citizens of Babylon, not because they are evil in and of themselves, but because the things were desired by the citizens of Babylon above all else, the exclusion of God and His plan. What do you think the average person is doing today? Searching for things on the web? Waiting for some big sports event so they can go run to the TV and glue themselves to it? And never have a thought pass through the head that says, those athletes ought to be expending their energy on the intake of an application of Bible doctrine. Oh yeah, they're talented. Well, big deal. There's been talented people all through history. Why don't you use your talents to the glory of God? Well, there will be those that tell you that you are. But the reality is, you are not connected with what is permanent and eternal. You're seeking fame, wealth, and approbation through some sports activity. Leaves me cold. You need to get with the plan of God. In other words, these things are objects of idolatrous affection. The double negative, ukeri, ume, is as emphatic as the Greek language can get to show that once these things are gone, there is absolutely no chance they will return to the American ports. Note how the person changes abruptly once again, this time to an impersonal third person, and will find them no longer. So God will fulfill Jeremiah 51:36, dealing with the U.S. and prophecy. Therefore, thus says Yahweh, behold, I'm going to plead your case and exact vengeance for you, and I'll dry up her sea and make her fountain dry. External and internal commerce. Perfect. Right there. Find me a place that ever would even quote these verses. Much less figure out who they apply to. Most of the items of the list are definitely not things people cannot do without. Non-essential becomes more important than surviving spiritually and politically. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.